All right, let's dive into a case today that's kind of wild when you think about it. It's United States v. United Shoe Machinery Corp. Imagine you could only lease your phone for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And you couldn't buy it outright. And you were stuck using only apps from that phone company.
That sounds rough.
Sounds a little crazy, right?
It does, yeah, like something out of a dystopian novel or something. But that was actually the reality for a lot of shoemakers back in the early 20th century, thanks to this company, United Shoe Machinery Corporation.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's not just some, you know, dusty old legal relic. It really changed, like completely reshaped how we think about monopolies.
So set the stage for us. How dominant was this United Shoe Machinery Corporation?
They were huge, like the absolute behemoth of the shoemaking world. You're talking 75 to 85% control of the market.
Wow.
For shoemaking machinery. So to put that into perspective, imagine if like one company controlled almost all smartphone production today.
Yeah, that's a crazy amount of power. So how did they get so big? Did they just make the best shoemaking machines?
Well, their machines were, you know, they were good. They provided reliable service. But the real secret to their success was their lease system.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't actually sell their machines. You could only lease them.
Oh, interesting.
And not for like a year or two. We're talking 10-year leases.
10 years.
Imagine being stuck with your current phone for a decade.
Oh, I would hate that. I'd be like, Joe needs in for the next upgrade for sure.
You'd be missing out on all the new advancements, yeah.
Totally. So it gets even weirder than that, though, right?
Yeah.
These leases had these full capacity clauses. What were those all about?
Ah, yes, the full capacity clauses. The real, I guess you could say, genius of their strategy.
Okay.
Maybe villainy. These clauses said you had to use their machines at full capacity for the whole term of the lease. So if you didn't, they were, you know, big penalties. So even if some competitor came along with a fantastic new machine, you'd be kind of financially disincentivized to even try it out.
So they basically locked out the competition before it even started.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like if your phone company said, okay, sure, you can download other apps, but if you don't use our pre-installed ones 90% of the time, you'll be charged extra.
It's a really subtle but incredibly effective way to just stifle any competition.
Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't even just stop new players from coming in, but it also stops United Shoe itself from innovating, all
like,
right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. If they actually had some serious competition, you know, nipping at their heels,
right,
they'd have to be constantly, you know, scrambling to come up with these groundbreaking new features and improvements just to stay ahead. But with these leases locking people in for a decade, where was the incentive?
Right. Why would they bother?
Yeah. They'd be incentivized to just keep things the way they are and rake in those sweet lease payments.
Yeah.
So if they weren't like slashing prices or doing anything super aggressive to push out the competition and customers were generally pretty happy with the machines, where exactly was the problem?
That's the really interesting part of this case. The problem was with the effects their practices had on the market as a whole. And this is where Judge Charles Wazanski, you know, he was the one who presided over this case.
Oh.
He comes into play. He was really a forward thinker. And he said that it didn't matter if United Shoe meant to be anti-competitive. It was the effects of their actions on the market that mattered.
So he wasn't concerned about their intentions, just the consequences.
Right. He was focused on the actual tangible consequences of their actions.
Yep.
Regardless of their intent. And so he looked at the evidence and concluded that if United Shoe hadn't cornered the market with this, you know, crazy lease system, there would have been a lot more competition, more innovation, probably better prices for consumers, you know, all the good stuff.
So what kind of evidence did he point to show these negative effects were real?
Well, one thing he pointed to was how United Shoe charged way higher rates of return for the machines where they had, you know, less competition.
Oh.
And this wasn't just, you know, shrewd business. It was a sign that they were using their market dominance to really squeeze as much money as they could from their captive audience. He also looked at their R&D spending, which was pretty average for the industry. And to him, this indicated that, you know, they weren't really pushing the boundaries. They weren't really innovating because they didn't have to.
It wasn't that their machines were bad. It's that their dominance kept the market from flourishing.
Right. It's like if that one phone company we talked about controlled everything, we might all still be using, like, clunky first-generation smartphones.
Well, that's a scary thought.
Because there'd be no reason to do any better.
Right.
And this is why Judge Wozanski's ruling in this case was so important. He recognized that these seemingly normal business practices, things like a long-term lease, could actually have, you know, really bad consequences for competition and for innovation.
Okay, so we've established that United Shoe was, like, the dominant force.
Yeah.
Their lease system was ingenious, but also anti-competitive.
Right.
And Judge Wozanski was clearly ahead of his time when it came to antitrust law. But what happened next? Did he just, like, order them to break up the company?
That's actually what makes this case even more fascinating, because that's not what happened. He took this really nuanced approach, implemented some, I guess you could say, creative remedies that were designed to specifically target those practices that were stifling the competition.
Mm, interesting.
We'll delve into those remedies and you know, how they played out in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds like we're just getting started.
So the court steps in and says, you know, hey, we see what you're doing here, United Shoe. Judge Wozanski's got the gavel ready to, you know, lay down the law.
Right.
But instead of just, like, smashing the whole company to pieces, he gets really specific, you know, like a surgeon.
Okay, so no big dramatic breakup. What'd he do?
He targeted the practices that were causing all the problems. Remember those 10-year leases?
Yeah, those were crazy.
The court basically said, nope, no more of that. They chopped him down to a max of 5 years.
Ah, okay, so a little more breathing room for the competition.
Exactly. Competitors have a chance. Customers can look at other options. It shakes things up a bit.
What about those full capacity clauses? Those had to go.
On. The court was like, these are clearly blocking anyone else from even getting a foot in the door.
Right.
They basically said, you can punish people for using less than full capacity, or, you know, for trying out machines from somebody else.
So much more freedom.
Yeah.
It's like they unlocked the app store on that hypothetical phone.
Totally. It's like, go ahead, download what you want, see what else is out there.
Must have been a huge relief for other companies in the shoemaking machinery business.
Oh, yeah. And there's more. The court also went after those bundled repair services that were kind of squeezing out the independent repair shops.
Okay.
They said, you got to offer separate pricing for repairs. You can't just, like, bake it into the lease cost.
Unbundling, huh? Sounds very familiar, like, if we think about what's happening in tech today. App store fees, all that stuff.
It's pretty striking how much this case, you know, from way back when, still resonates. But the court didn't stop there. They wanted to make sure everything was transparent going forward. So they told United Shoe, you got to make your pricing practices public.
Makes sense. No more hiding behind complicated contracts and confusing language.
Yeah, exactly. Level the playing field. Competitors can actually see what the costs are, maybe offer something better. Transparency is super important.
So the court really did a number on those structures that were propping up their monopoly. But did it work? Like, did United Shoe actually change?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? It's one thing for a court to say, do this, but making it happen, especially with a company as powerful as United Shoe, that's a whole other ballgame.
True. So they really threw the book at United Shoe, all those remedies, like, really trying to break their hold on the market. Did it actually make a difference, though? Like, did such a huge company actually change how it did business?
It wasn't, like, instant, but the ruling definitely had a big impact. United Shoe, of course, you know, they appealed the decision.
Yeah, I bet they did.
They tried to fight it, drag things out even longer. But ultimately, they had to follow what the court said. And, you know, to their credit, they did eventually adapt to this new reality.
So they didn't, like, just crash and burn after this whole legal battle?
Nope, not at all. They were around for quite a while after this, actually. Remained a pretty big name in the shoe machinery market for decades.
Wow, that's kind of surprising. I would have thought a decision like that, you know, basically saying their whole business model was anti-competitive, would really hurt them.
Yeah, well, it shows they could adapt, I guess. But I think the real lasting effect of this case is how it influenced other businesses.
How so?
Well, the United Shoe decision became this, like, cautionary tale, you know? It was a reminder that even if you're doing things that seem pretty normal, if they're preventing competition, you could get in trouble.
Don't get too comfy in your position, or the courts might come knocking.
Right. I wonder if, did Judge Wozanski's reasoning in this case affect any other antitrust cases that came later?
Oh, absolutely. The United Shoe case, it's a landmark decision, like you said. It changed how we define monopolization. It went beyond just looking at price fixing and things like that, you know, predatory pricing.
Right.
It started looking at these more subtle practices, the ones we've been talking about, that can be just as damaging to competition.
So his focus on what the company's actions actually did, not just what they were thinking, became a really important precedent for other cases.
Exactly. And that's especially relevant now, right, when we're trying to figure out how to regulate these big tech companies and these platform monopolies we see everywhere.
Yeah.
All the debates about app store fees, how data is controlled, algorithms that maybe favor certain companies. It's like we're seeing echoes of United Shoe all over again.
Yeah.
It makes you think. Those long leases, the full capacity clauses, it's almost like they've just evolved into these app stores and algorithms that, you know, push a company's own products.
Yeah, same principles, just a different playing field. And Judge Wozanski, even back then, you know, in the 50s, he seemed to kind of get this. He wrote in his decision that, you know, what might seem like a smart move from the outside, from a big company, could actually mean they're taking fewer risks and being less innovative because they don't have to try as hard.
Wow. That's like he predicted how companies can get complacent when they have all the power.
Right. No competition, no need to innovate.
Makes sense. So antitrust law, it's not just about punishing companies that do bad things. It's about making sure the market's actually a place where companies have to compete and keep pushing the boundaries.
Exactly. It's about keeping that market vibrant, you know, like an ecosystem, not a pond where one big fish controls everything.
That's a great analogy.
And that's really the big takeaway from United Shoe, I think. It shows that even in like a normal industry like shoemaking, the fight to keep the market fair and competitive, it can have a huge impact. The precedent it's set, it's still relevant now, you know, as we try to deal with powerful tech companies and make sure there's still room for new ideas and for consumers to have real choices.
So the next time we like look at our phones, download something, or see a new gadget, we should remember Judge Wozanski in this case.
Yeah.
Because without people fighting to make sure things are fair, we might all be stuck with really limited and probably expensive options.
Absolutely. So everyone keep those brains buzzing.